where Jesus in prophecy is called the Everlasting Father. If you say yes, well, welcome aboard. If you say no, that's Jesus, the second person, and the Father in Matthew 20:19 is his daddy, the first person. I could be conceived by the third person and be called the son of the first person. You don't have your children that way. If there's a distinct, separate person apart from Jesus called God the Father, and Jesus is our Father, Malachi 2:10 said, have not we all one Father? 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, one God the Father. Ephesians 4:6, one God and a Father of all. And Jesus taught us wrong when he taught us to pray in Matthew 6:9, after this matter, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. If that's his daddy and Jesus is my daddy, he should have taught us grandfather which art in heaven. But the Lord God doesn't have any grandkids. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know what the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is? It's our privilege to be here. We've enjoyed this immensely. And we thank you for this splendid opportunity. Enjoy the expert teaching today, Brother Hall. We appreciate the effort and the diligent study that goes into preparing such a Bible lesson as that.
Hours of corroboration and deliberation and investigation and putting together. I appreciate it. And I want him to know that tonight. And you'll be missing a very informative Bible lesson if you're not here, God willing, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Enjoyed that good singing tonight. I want Brother Russell to know I'm on your side. Now you hear me? Get that straight. Anything, you know, I'm on your side. That was good singing. I love that choir song. That's one of my favorites. I'm glad to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Oh, thanks, God. Appreciate the work of everybody. You're enjoying it so much. I know I'm preaching rather long, I realize that. A little longer than even for me. And I get a lot of ribbing about that.
Preach the word!
Well, I just was told you paid for the hour. So, we'll try our best. I didn't come with any preconceived notions. I am not really any great shakes of a preacher, but I do love to preach the Word of God. And I must preach what I feel God lays upon me, as you know that. Every preacher knows that. And I'm not here for any thrill. And personally, I disdain thought there are those that were up to its feet and titillating frenzy. I don't like that. But it's from your heart. It's in the Word of God. It's in the heart of God for that night. Well, then I'm all for it. I want the will of God. I want you to go home from this camp meeting feeling like you got something. And I know you will. I know you will. Everybody with a Bible, shout amen. Amen. Those without Bible, shout amen. I think it's mostly children. Go buy your child a Bible back there in the bookstore. Those are good Bibles, and you'd be helping the work of God, too. Amen. Amen. I'm asking you tonight to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 25. However, when I begin the story, it's one that is intertwined with another story, both of which could have had sorrowful, mournful endings were it not for Jesus. I will begin when I do start the story in verse 21 later. But I want to pick up the story inside of a story in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." I want to touch him tonight.
I want to touch him. Hallelujah.
How many of you here tonight with the upraised hand have a need that you want to touch God about? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I knew of two messages for this camp meeting, Monday night and tonight. For some reason, I, as all preachers know, we question not God. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Perhaps at the end of the rope, but know not to hang on to. You're dangling, suspended, perhaps on the precipice of a cliff, and perhaps you're at wit's end. You don't know what to do. The devil in his haunting, mocking, mimicking, satiring, leering, laughing method has intimidated you to the point that he's got you thinking it's all over. I really, from my heart, want to preach to you tonight. I'm reading again verse 25 and 26. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." The dark dungeon of despair. The long winter of discontent had set in. I'm going to preach tonight by the help of the Holy Ghost on a subject I'm going to entitle, "It's Not Over Till It's Over." I'm going to preach tonight on the subject, "It's Not Over Till It's Over." And I'm serving the devil notice right now. It's not over. I don't know what your need is, but I feel in the Holy Ghost God has arranged this for somebody tonight. I want you to reach out. From the depths of despair, I want you to reach out. Would you raise your hands with me and let's ask God to have his way? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shake hands with somebody before you're seated and tell them it's not over till it's over. You may be seated. I read the history of a great man, and his life was pocketed with disaster, defeat, rejection, demoralization, discouragement, disparagement, disillusionment, downheartedness, depression. He failed in business in 31. In 32, he was defeated for the legislature. In 33, he failed in business again. In 34, he was elected to the legislature. In 35, his sweetheart died. In 36, he had a nervous breakdown. In 38, he was defeated for the Speaker of the House. In 43, he was defeated for land officer. In 46, he was elected to Congress. In 48, he was defeated for re-election. In 55, he was defeated for the Senate. In 56, he was defeated for the vice presidency. And in 58, he was defeated again for the Senate. His name forever enshrined in the hearts of the citizens of the United States of America is Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. Everybody that lives any length of time at all will taste the bitterness of discouragement and disaster and ignominy and bite the dust and grovel at the feet of discouragement. Everybody will live long, lonely nights of despair when tomorrow is bleak and yesterday is dead and you have only your faith to live by. Somehow tonight, if I can preach to you 1 Corinthians 15:57, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's verse 58. In Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confidence of our rejoicing. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. 4:12 of Hebrews, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of them, under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to try my best tonight to preach to you. It's not time to give up. It's not time to sound the trumpet of retreat. It's not time to cut bait and run. It's not time to give up. I'm going to try my best to preach tonight. It's not over until it's over. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. 6:17 of Hebrews. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Do you get that? If you're teetering and tottering and staggering and weaving and buffeted and don't know what to do, can I whisper in your ear, it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong constellation who have fled for refuge to lay a hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Can I preach to you? Keep on preaching. Keep on singing. Keep on paying your tithe. Keep on washing the saints' feet. Keep on going to church regularly, systematically, and faithfully. Keep on having revivals. Keep on obeying your pastor. Keep on with the scissors out of your hair, lady. Keep on dressing like a man, man. Keep on dressing like a woman, woman. Keep on clapping your hands. Keep on talking in tongues. Keep on baptizing in Jesus' name. Keep on preaching the mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, the King eternally. Keep on preaching hell is hot and heaven is great. Keep on laying hands on fevered crowds.
in the name of Jesus, I command that sickness to leave. Keep on keeping on. Don't let the devil tell you it's over. It's not over until it's over.
The poet has well said, all human progress up to God has stained the fairs of time with blood. For every gain for Christendom has been bought by someone's martyrdom. Not ours alone, nor man's alone. In furnace fire, a faithful three, though bound in chains and spirit free, the fourth drew near with shining feet and walked with them through livid heat. A king's defeat, a king's defeat. On steeping sea and darkest night, the shipwreck saw a walking light, defying wave and wind and deep. He put the wave and wind to sleep. Ah, he will keep. Ah, he will keep. With tenderest touch he heals our ills, and from his well of life he fills with living water, strength divine, each thirsting branch of this his vine, for he is mine, for he is mine. Nor did he yet forget to pray, while midnight drifted towards the day. Then from that hidden garden bower, he rose from prayer with the Spirit's power to meet his zero hour, his zero hour. 10,000 saints come thronging home from lion's dens and catacombs. The beast and sword and fire defied. For Christ their King they testified and gladly died. Yea, they gladly died. With eye of faith we see today that cross-led column wind its way up life's repeated Calvary, borne up by superhuman power. We rise to take the hill with ours. O Christ, we follow thee. O Christ, we follow thee. I'm hoping somehow tonight to chop that wheel that's about to roll backwards, to breathe infectious enthusiasm in an otherwise decrepit spirit. Oh, I'm hoping tonight to encourage you to rise from the dust of the road and shake yourself. The devil might have got you yesterday, and he might have got you today, but for God's sake, don't stay down. Get up and look that trouble in the eye. Look that defeat in the eye. Look that discouragement in the eye. And tell that demon, hey, devil, it's not over until it's over. And I'm going to rise and pray one more time. Would you clap your hands and praise him right now? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, God. Anybody can shout when your bills are paid. Anybody from the mountaintops with unlimited views can breathe the rarefied stratosphere of divine unction and say it's all right to live for Jesus. But when the valley becomes a dungeon and the dungeon becomes a prison, locked up in the chains of despair, and the devil said you're through, you're done, they're going to bury you, no use you trying anymore, it becomes another story. We need rain desperately in this country. I'm reminded of the bated breath of Habakkuk 3:17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind feet to walk upon my high places. Can I preach to you? I don't care what the externals have. I care not what the observable material has. You've got to make up your mind. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, it ain't over until it's over. And we're going to praise Him in the shadow. We're going to worship Him in the dungeon. We're going to glorify Him in the valley. We're going to talk in tongues when we don't have a job. We're going to be faithful when the bills can't be paid. Praise God, everybody! Hallelujah! Those hind feet speak of the agile, sure-footed mountain animal. The goat that can climb the narrow crest of the rock and spring around while we would stumble. And He said, I'll make your feet like hind feet. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. You know, I found a secret. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I found an answer. You can recharge your spiritual battery at an old-fashioned Holy Ghost camp meeting. I found an answer. You can renew your strength in a prayer room or under the inspiration of an anointed sermon. I found an answer. You just get up and keep on keeping on. He's able. He's able! He's able! Hallelujah! That was a reading of Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. I changed the plane the other day in Dallas Fort Worth Airport. I don't know how the guy found me, but he found me with a big picture. And he said, I heard one of your tapes and that you love the eagle, and I don't want to give you a picture. And there it was with that inscription. And I love that. I envy that eagle. Sometimes I want to shake my fist at him because he can just fly away until I learn the answer. 2:6 of Ephesians says, He hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places. The devil might have got you down, but he don't have to keep you down. You might have struck out in the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded and dropped a touchdown pass, but that's yesterday. It's gone. I charge you in the Holy Ghost to shake yourself and rise and tell that devil of defeat, that demon of discouragement, I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to get anointed for my sickness one more time. I'm going to go to church and pray one more time. I'm going to live for God because it's not over until it's over. I love Paul's writings over half the New Testament.
one of the intrinsic assets of memorization. You can, by proxy, be projected into the mentality and personality of such men. Though our Bibles are but versions, and the original writings were inerrant and infallible, enough has been preserved through the inspiration of the Spirit. I've known Paul if I met him in the dark and heard that squeaky high-pitched voice. I know him, and I'd love to hear him say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And it is written, the name says, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep of the slaughter. Nay! Nay! Take that, devil. Nay! Take that, depression. Nay! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That was Romans 8:35-39. And you can jive when we talk about Acts 2:4. You might pop your fingers, Frank, when we talk about the street of gold and the gates of pearl and the jasper sea. Oh, you might swoon, Bertha, when I talk about a place where you'll never die. But I want to look you right in the eye when you go through the valley of despair and the shadow of death. And when the devil haunts you and dogs your trail and tells you you flopped here and you messed up there and your church is not a success here and that sermon is nothing but a bunch of junk there. You got no personality. Nobody likes you anymore. You're through singing. You're through preaching. You're through even living for God. You're a nondescript nothing in a land nobody knows about. You just as well hang it up. How many people you raised from the dead? And I get up those verses and I spout them in the face of that demon and I tell that devil of depression, it's not over until it's over. And the grace of God that brought me this far is going to take me the rest of the way. And the power of God that kept me yesterday is going to keep me today. And I believe my God's able. If you believe your God's able, shout amen. My stories tonight are intertwined. They begin with Mark 5:21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her,
that she may be healed. And she shall live. Here, Jesus gets out of the boat. And a ruler of the synagogue, a prestigious, influential position in Jewish antiquity, meets him. Not like some of you stuffy fans. Not like some of you, I see, Eisenhower. But this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, fell on his face. Now there are prayers and then there are prayers. Now my advice to some of you, if you've had a nagging, persistent, reiterating problem that won't go away, is to try extraordinary measures. And one of the first might be to quit being so frosty and formal and fall on your face tonight and with wild abandon seek His help and His mercy. Jairus prayed and asked Him, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. It was for his daughter, not for himself. He was entreating the Lord for help. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Why did not Jesus just speak the word to the faith that existed between Jesus and Jairus' daughter? He could have easily have healed. But he had a reason. Jesus always knows what he's doing. Oh, yes, he does. There was a little old lady down the road with a desperate situation. And Jesus knew about that little old lady. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians. You know, 12 years is a long time to be sick. Some of you tough toms, you got sick 12 minutes, you'd probably go bonkers. Here, this woman for 12 years had suffered this disease day after day until it became a persistent pattern. Something that was always to be. No doubt she was told, learn to adjust and live with it. That's the way it's going to be. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Primitive medicinal method leaves a lot to be desired of which we could go into. Like letting blood out thinking it purified the body. And no doubt she had been to Mayo Clinic and tried experimental drugs in Mexico or in the Swiss Alps. She pulled the very stems out, as it were, and gone for broke. For the Bible said, had spent all that she had. She hocked the family heirlooms. She had yard sales and grog sales, and her money didn't mean anything if she was sick. I'm preaching now for a minute to some of you that the dollar is your God and money is where you bow at an altar and you think nothing but try to accumulate and your greediness leaves much to be desired. You may have good health now and your life's going good, but you let yourself come down. There's a terminal sickness and you'll see there's some things money cannot buy. There's some blessings money cannot buy. And you know what one of them is? The Holy Ghost and fire. And it's keeping me alive. I'm not preaching against money. I'm preaching against the abuse. I'm not preaching against material possessions. I'm preaching with the infatuation and love affair with materialism. This woman spent all that she had and was nothing better. But rather grew worse. Every day she knew it. Her friends in the sewing circle would tell her, you're looking better today, Betty. But Betty knew better. She was getting weaker and weaker. Maybe children or family would tell her, cheer up, things are looking better. But she knew down in the intrinsic cockles of her heart, I'm dying. by degrees, little by little, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And that melancholy voice of desperation and depression spoke in her ear, "It's all over but the crime, Betty. You're through. Get your insurance papers in order. Buy your grave marker. Your life's over, Betty. You're through. Do you hear me? Don't even get out of bed this morning." How many haunting, mimicking voices of demoniacs have we all heard that said, "Don't face today. I whipped you yesterday, boy. And you poke your nose out the front door, I'll whip you again today. Stay in bed. You're through. Pull your covers up over your head. Nobody loves you anyhow. Pull the blinds down and shut the grates. Hide from reality. It's all over for you, buddy. But the crying, and day by day by day by day, as this lady lived, she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You get prayed for, and you get worse. You pay your tithes even, and even things get worse. You clap your hands and worship, but things get worse. You preach your intros out, and it still gets worse. You stand for truth, and you're buffeted, and it gets worse. Until that demoniac voice says again, "You're through. It's over. You're down and out. Get on and get out of it." But my Bible tells me in this woman's case, but when she had heard of Jesus, I would to God I knew where. It could have been at some laundromat doing her wash. Some friend could have told her, "Oh, Betty, oh, Betty, if you could just reach Jesus. There's a healer coming down the road. There's a sea walker. There's a blind eye opener. There's a leper cleanser, a bread multiplier, and a heart mender. Oh, Betty, if you could just meet Jesus, you don't have problems, you've got possibilities." Maybe she was washing her dirty dishes. Maybe it was an overcast day. Maybe she had spent her last dime. Maybe she was really down in the valley. And glancing out the window, what does she see but a parade coming down the road and a familiar figure leading the crowd? She instantly recognized, well, that's the man they've been talking about. Desperation seized her. She rose to the occasion. The devil said, "Stay in the house." Betty said, "I ain't staying in the house." The devil said, "Pull the blinds down." Betty said, "I've kept the blinds down long enough." The devil said, "Get back in bed, put the covers over your head." But Betty said, "I'm going out the door. I'm going to give this thing one more shot. It's not over until it's over." And she come out of the house. I can see her now. But when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. I am not doing violence to the textual context. I believe Jesus marched that parade right by Betty's house. I believe he knew her zip code, her phone number, her address. I believe he knew her aches and her pains. I believe he knew her troubles, and he marched that parade right by her house. He was telling Betty, "If you can't come to me, I'll come to you. Come on out of that house, Betty." And I can see it now as she walked out the door. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus smiled just a little bit and was saying in his mind, "That's the way, Betty. Come on out of there." And she came in the press behind. She didn't get up in the front. She slipped down the back to the back, and she started worming her way through and getting her way through the crowd. She came through the crowd, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." I know of no theological exegesis of any definitive doctrine that substantiates this idea of touching Jesus' clothes and being healed. But her because they came to worship. They came to have revival. They came to seek God. she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She started through the pack. If you've ever crossed the line, it's not easy. There's people that'll tell you, I got here before you did. You get on back and get in your place, and you stay in your place. But Betty was tired of staying in her place. She was tired of the lonely nights. She was tired of the emptiness in her heart. She was tired of pessimism and defeat. She was tired of it. And she wanted help, and she wanted it that day. I don't believe I'm doing violence to the text. If I give Betty some words, I think she probably told that guy or gal that told her to stay in her place. Look here, buddy boy, I'll tell you what, I got my mind made up. You either get out of my way, or I'll go over you, I'll go under you, or I'll go around you, or I'll leave my footprints right up your backbone. Because my mind's made up. I'm going to touch Jesus. If it's the last thing I do, I got nothing to lose. I'm going for broke. This is it. The devil said it's over, but it's not over until it's over. She might have had to crawl. She might have had to push and shove. Whatever it was, she made her way through the crowd. Jesus could easily have stopped the parade. Why didn't he? Don't ask me. I'm not Jesus. But his way of doing was to perhaps try her faith. But whatever it was, he was for her every step of the way. I think Jesus probably would have been saying in his own mind, come on, Betty, that it shall be a hooch out of your way. Get those non-worshippers and tea warmers out of your way. Get those lukewarm song leaders and preachers and piano players out of your way. Come, Betty! Get those Sunday school lukewarm in and out, up and down people out of your way. You want to touch me? Go for broke. Is that all right? I don't think we got time to play tricks. I don't think we got time to dilly-dally and hanky-panky and up and down. I want revival tonight. I want to see people healed. I want to see the devil cast out. I want you to leave here with a song in your heart. Now you better be careful. You better listen to me. You better be careful. I got a dimension in the Holy Ghost that is unusual even for me to attain. And I'm but a rinky-dink, common clodhopper of a preacher. And I'm going to rebuke some of you as sure as I'm standing right here. If you don't actively involve yourself in this worship, and if you don't do it, you sit down and shut your mouth. Because I feel a dimension in the Holy Ghost. There's people here down to their last out. There's people on the very precipice of despair. I've got an unction in the Holy Ghost. There's suicidal tendencies here tonight. There's people that have tried doctors. They've tried marriage counseling. They've tried every kind of a religiosity your mind could conjure. And they're here tonight. And the devil's telling them, ain't no use you going to that Pentecostal camp meeting. But I'm going to stand up and tell them, it's not over until it's over. Can I get an amen somewhere out there? She came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I don't know how long it took, but with one final frantic lunge, she reached out and brushed his garment. My Bible said, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I have talked to those that laugh at miracles for today. I have stood across the desk of those whom I was to later discuss in public polemic discussion that told me, you're not going to appeal to feeling, are you? And I think of this little old woman with the issue of blood. When she touched his garment, she felt in her body. I'm not doing violence to the Word of God when I tell you, when Jesus heals you, you can feel it in your body. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you can feel it in your body. When He blesses you, you can feel it in your body. I'm not doing violence to the Word of God when I definitively tell you tonight, you can feel what I'm talking about. It'll get in your hands. It'll get in your feet. It'll get all over you. And you can feel in your body. Praise God, everybody!
And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Lord, I want you to feel it tonight. It's been a long time. You've been pushed down, trampled on, shoved aside, rolled off, laughed about. Yes, I'm preaching to you. But I want you to know you can feel in your body. And we want you to feel in your body tonight the virtue of healing and the power of the resurrection. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, oh, sweet Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Why, Jesus, you're a little touched in the head. All this traveling's got you battle weary. People are jostling up against you. They're brushing up against you. And you're saying, "Who touched me?" Can I do a little preaching here? There is a touch. And then there is a touch. There is a song. And then there is a song. There is a sermon, and then there is a sermon. I'm tired of the mechanics. I'm tired of the perfunctoriness. I want to go for broke. I want to move of God. I want to feel it. Don't you raise that hand and wave it tonight. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He knew who it was. He knew where she was. And I'm not condemning this little old lady. She was just going to slip in the crowd, touch Him, receive her healing, and just slip out of the crowd. She didn't want to upset the program. She didn't want to interrupt the proceedings. But if I know anything about Jesus from my walk, He loves for you to interrupt me. I don't know a whole lot about Him, but the Holy Ghost said in Acts 8 and verse 17, "For as yet He was fallen upon none of them." And Acts 10:44, "While He yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." From that and deductive reasoning, I feel the Holy Ghost likes to pounce on people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling better right now. I would to God I could get you to shed your inhibition and let the Holy Ghost jump on you right now. Oh, He'll bring healing in His wings. He'll bring revival in His trail. He'll bring a devil casting out spirit. You don't have to leave here discouraged. Somebody help me now. You don't have to leave here despondent and depressed and disillusioned and down to the end of the rope. There's help for you here in this church tonight. There's deliverance for you in this church tonight. And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. "I've been a robber. I've been a thief. I got something
that this crowd didn't get. Maybe he's going to correct me. Maybe he's going to make a public spectacle. I have got a touch of deity. Lord, help me. That woman froze. Lord, what's going to happen to me? The scripture said, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She did the only logical thing, and you ought to follow her steps. Just come and tell it to Jesus. If you're weary, tell it to Jesus. If you're discouraged, tell it to Jesus. If you've been pushed and shoved and abused and rebuked and you're nervous and all of that, tell it to Jesus. She came and fell down before his feet and told him all the truth. If you could have shoved a microphone in the dirt, you'd have heard the mutter of her mournfulness. Jesus, you was my last hope. I had the curtains shut and the blinds drawn. I was down to where there was no more hope. Lord, don't be the rebuking of me. I had to come to you, sweet Jesus. You was the only chance I had. And as she cringed, perhaps waiting to hear those faithful words of rebuke and chastisement and correction, and perhaps putting her down and telling her, I'm taking my healing back and going to put something worse on you than you've ever had because you interrupted my itinerary. She waited expecting the worst. And my Bible says, step aside, angels. Give me a little running room now. My Bible says, and he said unto her, daughter. Now you may not get a lot out of just one word, but I get a whole lot out of it. He called me daughter. He didn't call me harlot. He didn't call me no good. He didn't call me scum. He didn't call me dirt. He didn't call me filth. He called me daughter. Everything's gonna be alright. He called me daughter. Daughter, thy things have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus was saying, that's alright, lady. Get on up. You're okay. I'm okay. Everything's gonna be okay. Because I said it was gonna be okay. You know what I think happened? I think that lady got up. I think she stood probably straighter than she had in many a year. I think on a kind of smile, or a smile like a Cheshire cat or a mule eating briars, grinning from ear to ear. Now look at me, I'm preaching now. I believe she probably swept the dust from her clothes and brushed them aside. And she probably just looked around at that crowd that was staring and did a little bit of just nothing but just... And that grin told everything. That grin was saying, I got it because I came after it. And you didn't get it because all you did was stand there and sit there. I came out of my house with desperation and I got it because I went for broke. Somebody say it's not over till it's over. And that little old lady, the rest of her days, around some fireplace, had a story to tell to her grandchildren that she had on her knees. Let me tell you, babies, when the going gets rough, it ain't over till it's over. Let me tell you, son-in-law, when the clouds are gray and despondent be the day, you just cheer up because it's not over until it's over. Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. And she slipped out of there. But you notice, I introduced Jay Iris. I got to give him some comment here. I believe he was a good man. He didn't intervene in the proceedings, but stood patiently while the woman got what she came after. And as the minutes ticked into hours, his daughter's life was ebbing away. And he was the one that was first in line. He had gotten Jesus first and was on his way to his house with Jesus, the answer, when this woman interrupted the proceedings and got what she came after. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he spake these words, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? What did Iris do there? The running feet of a man came faster and faster down the street. And he came running up. And with an announcement that had to freeze the heart of Jairus, he said, your daughter's dead. It's all over but the crying. You got nothing left but funeral arrangements and pick out a tombstone. Don't trouble the master any further. Doesn't that sound like pessimism? Doesn't that sound like defeatism? Has that voice ever whispered in your ear, preacher, when you walk to the pulpit and they don't pay tithes and they won't wash the saints' feet and they won't line up right and you tried everything in the world to have revival and the devil says, why, troublest thou the master any further? This thing's dead. It's all over but the crying. And Jairus stood there. But let me tell you what the Bible said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He knew what the news would do to the attitude of Jairus. He could read his mind. And Jesus just stood in the gap and made up the hedge and said, look at here, don't be afraid. No, no, don't push a panic button. Don't hang crape on the doorknob. Don't pull the blinds down. Don't go prepare a great marker. Be not afraid. Only believe. Can I say that tonight? Be not afraid. Only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the son of James. And there they go. And he cometh to the ruler of the synagogue's house and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. The closer Jesus got to Jairus' house, the louder the funeral music. The whining, the whimpering, the crying. Some stage professionally, no doubt, but it was a funeral atmosphere. Come on now, preachers. How many times have you walked in the pulpit and read despair on people's faces? And read discouragement on people's faces. And read downheartedness on people's faces. How many times has the devil told you, just buy the marker, dig the grave, it's all over. That was what the attitude was. When Jesus came to the house, he seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? What's all this mourning and moaning going on about? The long, sad faces. Why, you could put your chin on your shoelace. Things are so tough. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. Oh, Jesus, you're not a realist. I helped close her eyes. I helped fold her hands. It's all over. The crying's all that's left. But Jesus said, the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Can I preach a little now? Come on now, preacher. Ain't no use you being discouraged. No use you being downhearted. Come on, get that head up. Throw them shoulders back. Your God's never lost a battle yet. He's never seen a river he couldn't cross, a mountain he couldn't climb, a devil he couldn't whip, a problem he couldn't solve, a sickness he couldn't heal, a church he couldn't revive. Why don't you walk in that pulpit with your head up for once? Look down at those people and tell them, get the crape off the doorknobs. Shut the funeral music down. Quit buying a marker for the grave. We're not going to get around here moaning that there's going to be a funeral. We're celebrating a resurrection. He lives! He lives! He lives! He lives! The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth! And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed him to scorn. I really don't want to violate this, but some righteous indignation has to rise here. And they laughed him to scorn. It's hard to understand how people could cry one second and laugh the next. I seriously suspect the validity of their weeping. Professional weepers, perhaps. Only with crocodile tears sharing the remorse of a seeming departed soul. Because when Jesus announced, ain't it gonna be no funeral today. Our God is attesting there somewhere. You ought to walk in that church that hadn't had revival in 90,000 years, and the first thing you ought to tell them, ain't it going to be no funeral today. Cut out the obituary. The damsel is not dead, but sleeper. And they laughed in the storm. They mocked, mimicked, leered and laughed. Did you hear him? He said, she's sleeping. I've stood by the bedside of many people dying, and I know a dead man or woman or person when I see one. And he said, she's sleeping. I've been going to church since Noah built the ark. And I know when a church can't ever have any help. And this one can't have any. And that preacher said, no, we're not having funerals today. He said we could talk in tongues. He said the devil could be cast out. He said people could be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. He said there's one God and his name is Jesus. I heard him say the day of revival is not over. Did you hear him? The song leader got up and said the Holy Ghost is going to fall like rain tonight. Shout in the aisles while old Uncle Henry hadn't shouted since the cows came home. Oh, Aunt Sue's like a mossy back horn back cow. She ain't never shouted in so long. She's got a seatbelt to that team. He said from now on, this is going to be a bitch hopping, aisle running, hand clapping, foot stomping, him singing, Bible believing, one God, Jesus' name, Church of the Apostolic Faith. He said he's tired of funeral music. He said he's tired of graveyard services. He said he's tired of obituary reading. He said there's not going to be any funerals today. Just laugh on, devil! Laugh on! But it ain't over until it's over! And there's some preachers in this building that's going to have revival in Kentucky, that's going to cast out devils
falls in Kentucky, that's going to baptize in Jesus' name in Kentucky, that's going to have some tongue talking faith in Kentucky.
Could I get an amen somewhere? In the innocency and simplicity of the august power of these next few words, I come with bated breath. But when he had put them all out, he went to the lepers and he said, out. You don't believe what I say? Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more. Hey, you over there, laughing about talking in tongues, out. Hey, you back there, that laughed when the pastor said, we're going to go back to old-fashioned holiness, out. Hey, you back there, that laughed when the pastor said, we're going to have miracles and signs and wonders because God's going to confirm his word. Out! Hey, you back there that made fun of those that worship in their own unique way. Get out of my face. Now, what are you saying, preacher? There's people that laugh at do it from ignorance. This is not the kind of people I'm talking about. If anybody with a legacy of miracles, it was these groups. Nobody should have laughed whose ancestors walked through the Red Sea dry shod. Nobody should have laughed whose ancestors marched around Jericho walls and brought them down. Somebody give me an amen out there somewhere. So that's the crowd I'm preaching to. And I'm preaching to some of you professional Pentecostals in this building tonight. You sat there so long, do you think that's the only way to act in church? And when somebody tries to light a fire under your feet, you think it's ludicrous and inane and imbecilic and asinine and a double portion of quintessence of comforting imbecility. You think we're ridiculous and stupid and idiotic when we get up here and really try to bring the glory down. But I want to preach to your heart tonight. What we need today is a good old dose of the Holy Ghost. We need an outpouring. We need an outpouring of the real Spirit of God. I don't care if it makes me laugh, or if it makes me cry, if it makes me run, or it makes me jump, or it makes me just stand still. I want what God's got. Would you clap your hands, everybody? I think it's time we quit laughing. I said, I think it's time we quit laughing. If that blind brother's unafraid to run around with the guidance of somebody else, some of you died in the world professional Pentecostals ought to unfasten that seatbelt and get out in the aisles and do a little jig, but for no reason but to tell the devil, I'm still alive, bugaboo. I'm still in the church. I'm still worshiping God. I'm not through. It's not over until it's over. What's wrong with you? You ought to come alive. Don't let the devil intimidate you. The day's over. Sure you've been in the valley. Sure you've been in the dungeon. Sure you've been in the lion's den. Sure the devil's pressured you. But you ought to come out of that cave of fear. You ought to unstrap that seatbelt. Tell that devil, here I go. I came to worship. I came to praise. I might get ridiculed.
And I'm not one given to ludicrous remarks for what I feel in the Holy Ghost. I might even get disciplined for making this statement, but I feel to say it in the Holy Ghost. If you want your healing, if you want anything from God, whatever, problem solved, Holy Ghost, I don't care what it is, I challenge you right now to come out of that seat and run around these aisles right now in Jesus' name. I challenge you, sir. If you want something from God, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're sick and tired of being discouraged, and you're sick and tired of being depressed, and you're sick and tired of not having revival, and you want to move with God, I challenge you to come out of those seats. Let the Lord know some way that you're loving. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Worship Him. Worship Him. It's not over until it's over. Draw from your reserve. He didn't fail you yesterday. Look that devil in the eye. It's not over till it's over. You're going to make it. Yes, you've got the stuff to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. The devil's a liar. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, oh, I want everybody, one more time, that wants something from God, only you need to know what it is, to come up here and stand right now. I don't want no laughers up here. I don't want any mimickers or mockers. I do not want any that...